Let's read in Jeremiah 10 tonight. And I want to read two verses of scripture, Jeremiah 10, verse 23 and verse 24. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 and verse 24. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. He uses the same two words again, O Lord, in verse 24. Correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger. How many parents are in the house? How many have ever corrected your youngin' in anger and regretted it? Say amen. You know what makes us so mad, don't you? They act just like us. Amen. We regret that. But Jeremiah said, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. If God will help me tonight, I'll go back to verse 22 in chapter 8. The Bible said it. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? This morning seemed as if the Lord was magnifying, I guess, a lot of the problems in the land. But tonight I believe God wants to magnify the solution. You know, when man has a problem, God has a solution.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad of that tonight? When a church has a problem, when a home has a problem, when a nation has a problem, we have a God in heaven tonight that has a solution. When an individual has a problem, some turn to dope, some turn to alcohol, some turn to the world. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that cares for us and we can turn to Him tonight. Pray with me just a moment and I'll try to be as brief as I can tonight, but I just want to share a thought with you. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for this rain. Lord, I know how concerned my son was, the pasture drying up, having to feed hay to the cattle already. God, I just appreciate the rain. I appreciate, Lord, you raining the blessings of God down in our heart, down in our soul. Father, we're not worthy of it. We know that. But God, we sure are appreciative. Lord, I appreciate tonight this Bible that I have in front of me. I appreciate, Lord, the Holy Spirit. God, if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't get anything out of it. I wouldn't have anything to give the precious people. But God, you just continually, Lord, feed my soul from this old book. God, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to be a faithful mailman and deliver the mail, our Father, that you've delivered unto us. God, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, all of God's youngins said, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. A balm or medicine in Gilead. Is there no physician there? In the middle of the mess, Jeremiah has a message. And the message tonight is just twofold. I read in chapter 10 and verse 23 and verse number 24. And I believe there's two things tonight that would really, lots of times, I can't remember, Sister Kim would know, a compound. You take two things and put them together. What's the next word? A compound. What is it? It's medicines. You can make a medicine. You take two and you put them together. But anyway, she's not helping me. Amen. Don't tell me I'm smarter than you are. Amen. Never mind, I won't say that. Amen. But anyway, I probably need my wife. She'd straighten me out in a hurry. But there is two things here in this text that I believe will create and help us a medicine, so to speak, in the times like were described in the Word of God this morning when they were coming into the house of God. And God said, is this why I delivered you? So that you could commit abomination, so that you could do those things that are disgusting in my sight. And the two things tonight are simple, but yet profound. Number one, in verse number 23, we need the Lord to direct us. I said, we need the Lord to direct us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every church was looking to the Lord to direct them? If every pastor was looking to the Lord to direct them? If every Sunday school teacher was looking to the Lord to direct them? Even every choir leader, Brother Dale, was just looking to the Lord to direct them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got back to the place in our schools where it'd be all right to bow our heads and talk to the God of heaven, amen? Say, God, we need direction today. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the Congress if they recognized the need of the direction that only comes from the Lord? There's two things here tonight. The first one, we need the Lord to direct us. You remember, the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. And the next verse said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Jeremiah had sense enough to know that it's not in man to direct his own way. But man needs God to direct his steps and to direct his way. There's a couple of things that I'd like to share with you tonight. Look back with me, if you will, at chapter 8 and verse number 9. The Bible said, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. You see, wisdom, Christ, the Bible said, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. So wisdom, it comes down from above. And the Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. The Bible talks about in one place, I don't remember the reference, but no good thing will he withhold from them that love him. And I'll tell you, wisdom is a good thing. Solomon knew that, amen. He realized he was directing a great people and that he could not do it alone, that he needed the wisdom of God. I believe prayer comes into the picture right here. Look at Psalms with me just a minute, and chapter number 5 and verse number 3. In Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 3, the Bible said, hear my voice, shalt thou hear in the morning. I'd ask a question tonight. Honey, this is the cream of the crop. This is the Sunday night crowd. Will he hear your voice in the morning? When you get out of that bed in the morning, will you say, thank you, Lord, for another day of life? Will you take time and say, God, would you direct my steps today? Would you guard my heart today? Would you guard my thoughts today? Would you put me, Lord, in the path of someone maybe that I could help today? You know, some people, all they need is a kind word. I was pulled up on a stop sign the other day, and I don't always do it, but there was a veteran standing there, and you could tell, I mean, you could see it through his shirt. He was holding a hernia in. It was hard for him to stand there. And I told my wife, I said, get some money and give it to him. You say, Pastor, he's probably taking people for a ride. You know, I don't know for sure, but I try to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't always do it. Like I said, I was coming in one time from a prison in Pennsylvania, and my wife would cook all that food up for me, and I would have it in the fridge in my camper when I left, and then it would be some in the freezer When I ate that in the fridge, I moved it from the freezer to the fridge. I lived for 2 weeks at a time like that. But I tell you, there was one of those trips where it just seemed like everywhere I went, somebody wanted to feed me. So I didn't get to eat all of Miss Eve's cooking. Amen. Somebody was standing up there, Brother Larry. It's where Gander Mountain used to be. They closed it down right above Roanoke there. It might have been on this side of Roanoke. But there was somebody standing there on the interstate. And I tell you, God, I got off the interstate and I went over. Listen, if you're going to walk around and get off the interstate, you might as well walk around in a big boy's toy store. Amen. And so I went over there and walked around for a while. And God just continually impressed upon my heart. I said, God, if he's there when I leave out, he was standing on the other side. Honey, I'm going to tell you what I did. I said, sir, what are you needing? He said, I need something to eat. I said, I can fix you up. I said, you come on back here. And I opened that camper door and got in that refrigerator and got in them cabinets and got me some Walmart bags out. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, you and I, having the God of heaven direct our steps, can make the difference in somebody else's life. And it's not always, listen, it can be about a gospel track, and I'm sure he got that too from me. But listen, I've been saying this for years. Honey, if you ain't going to leave the waitress a tip, don't leave her a track. Amen. If she's in there working for $2 an hour, amen, and you ain't going to, please don't leave one with Bible way on it. And if you're going to gripe about everything under the sun in the meal, don't leave a Bible way track, amen. Try to be compassionate with people, amen. And I believe God will direct our steps if we'll just pray and ask Him to. The Word of God said, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee. And I will look up. Amen. I believe that's important. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23 for just a moment with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 7. What happens when God directs our steps? The Bible said, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Right there's the medicine, beloved. We need God to direct ourselves. Amen. I remember back when America got hit on 9/11. I know. How many remembers where you were? I remember exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing. My wife was teaching in the school. My son and I were on the parking lot. We were underpinning in a classroom, putting vinyl underpinning under a classroom. And my wife came out and said, honey, they saw it on TV in the school, said our nation is under attack. And I looked at my boy. I said, son, let's pray. And we fell down in the parking lot. And if you'll remember, beloved, go back in your memory. For about 2 weeks, beloved, we were Americans again. We weren't Democrats and Republicans and independents, amen. We were Americans, amen. It brought us together, but it didn't last long. For about 2 weeks, even on the news, people would say, we need to pray, amen. We need to pray. Well, guess what? Maybe we're not under attack tonight, but we still need to pray. We're under attack in a different way, amen. But thank God tonight, God will direct our steps if we'll talk to Him. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 for just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24. The Bible said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. I'm thinking of men right now, and I'm not going to name names. I'm thinking of men that were very bright, very educated, but they didn't glory in their wisdom. And by the way, beloved, after Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he didn't either. He said, take all that education, take all that learning at the feet of Gamaliel and just put it on a dunghill, amen, that I might win Christ, amen. In other words, he needed the hand of God on his life. And the Bible said in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. By the way, if you see any of that going on and you love Jesus, it'll make you sick at your stomach. When you see a man glorying in his wisdom, or a rich man glorying in his riches, amen, or a mighty man glorying in his might, it'll just make you sick and make you want to back up from him, amen, because you wonder if lightning's going to fall in that area. And the Word of God said here, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about Peter and John. I'm thinking about that text over there in Acts where the Bible said they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what this world needs? They need to meet some of God's people this week that's been with Jesus that morning in the prayer closet, that understands that it's not in us to direct our steps, but we need the God of heaven. Amen. We're going to see our grandchildren saved. They need to see Jesus in our lives. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, the Bible said, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. There's a lot I don't know, but there's one thing I do know. I do know there have been some times in my life when my dad was proud to be my dad. There's nothing like it when you know that your father is proud to be your father. There have been times, listen, that I made him ashamed, but there have been times that I know daddy was proud to be my daddy. Boy, I tell you, I believe it'd change our life if we'd walk every day of our life and say to our Father in heaven, Father, I want to make you proud today that I'm your child. Amen. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I don't belong to this world. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. I'm a child of God. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, we need the Lord to direct us. Watch this now, and I'm getting through with the first thing. It's getting a little better up here. Amen. Amen. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 5. This will finish up the first thing in the message. We need the Lord to direct us. Watch this now. When the things that we've mentioned tonight are practiced in our life, let me show you what's going to happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. I got tickled one time when somebody was talking about it taking so long to close the message. I said, listen, after Paul said, finally, brethren, there was two more chapters. Amen. Finally, brethren, no wonder I like Paul. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now I want you to remember that text because I'm going into the second thing here in a moment. Beloved, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. We've got young people that are fixing to go out into the workforce. They've graduated college now and going out into the workforce. We've got seniors in high school that are fixing to go off into this. You know what they're going to find out very quickly? All men have not the faith. They're going to find out there's wicked men out there and unreasonable men. You say, well, Pastor, how are they going to make it? Watch this. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now verse 5 is going to wrap it up in this first thing. We need the Lord to direct us. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. I'll tell you something right now, beloved. If God's doing the directing, there's going to be a heart full of love. You're going to be able to love the saints. You're going to be able to love the sinners. You're going to be able to love the Scripture. You're going to be able to love the Savior. Amen. I'm going to tell you, my grandpa, he was just an old country preacher. He said it like this: if you love God, you love everybody. Amen. You don't love sin, but you can love the sinner. Realizing that's exactly what Jesus did with you. He didn't wait on you to get right to love you. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So the first thing we need tonight in that balm in Gilead is the Lord to direct us. The second thing tonight, it's not popular, but Jeremiah knows what he's talking about, because you remember who gave him the word? This ain't Jeremiah's word. This is the word of the Lord. Look at verse 24. We need God to direct us. But in verse number 24, we need something else. He said, "Oh Lord, correct me. Correct me." You don't hear much preaching about it anymore. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I serve a God that corrects his youngins. He loves us too much to leave us to ourselves. Amen. And listen to me. Listen to me. Children, it don't matter whose children they are. They need to be corrected. We're God's youngins, and God's going to have to correct us if we're going to experience. I believe even in the world that we live in, even in our nation, I believe the hope is found in God once again directing our steps and once again correcting his people. Amen. You'd be surprised this morning how many people could have been in the house of God but chose not to be in the house of God. You'd be surprised this summer how many people be gone all summer. I'm not thinking of anybody, but it's just the truth. Church is a leftover. If I've got any money left, I'll give it to the church. If I've got any time left, I'll give it to the church. I'll tell you what will change your life is when you stop thinking about the church and think about the Christ. My time belongs to the Christ. My tithe belongs to the Christ. And I believe it will change us. The Bible said in Jeremiah 10 and verse number 24, "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger." Look at Jeremiah chapter 30 for just a moment, please. I won't be long. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 11. What the Word of God said here. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 11. Let's see if I can find it here. The Word of God said, "For I am with thee." How many's glad he's with us tonight? "Saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee." I want you to look at these next two words. "In measure." Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Every parent ought to pray, "God, would you teach me about this measure? Teach me what is the correct measure. When I have to correct my children, teach me to correct them in measure." Last week, I mentioned it Wednesday night, I think, I built a deck about 22 foot long, just 5 foot wide, long side of a pool. It's got steps that goes up. My wife's going to have to watch the babies when they're in the pool. One of them can't swim. Swallowed about a quart of water the other day. She was supposed to wear little arm floats, and she decided she wasn't going to do that. She was just going to wear that ring around her. Well, she ain't as big as a spaghetti noodle, amen. And she squirted through that ring and went under the water, and it scared her bad. But Papa had already warned them. I said, "Listen, this is the warning. The pool will be closed for a solid month if I catch you on those steps or on that deck when Mamma ain't there." You say, "Pastor, why would you be that stern with them?" Because I understand the harm that can happen in a heartbeat. And I believe little Ava understands now the harm that could happen in a heartbeat. Little Sawyer received the warning about going up that Odell slide backwards. Don't do that, Sawyer. We're standing there with our back to him, and we hear him scream. He gets up spitting teeth and blood. He ain't had any teeth since he's 3 years old up there. He's got a grill, amen, when he smiles. One here and one there. Went to school climbing across the top of the gym, knocked another now. I'm going to tell you, we need to receive God's warning. We need to receive God's correction. The Bible talks about whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Just a couple of things real quickly tonight, and I'll be finished. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 for just a moment, please. Proverbs chapter number 3. These are probably familiar verses of Scripture. Psalms, then Proverbs. I want to look at chapter number 3 for just a moment. Look at verse number 11. The Bible said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. I can remember, how many of y'all ever heard Brother Mays Jackson preach? Oh, I can remember Brother Mays like it was yesterday. He said this, he said, my daddy said, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. Brother May said, I thought, my Lord, somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, beloved, God said, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. If we really understood the Scripture and he had to chasten us, we would look at him and say, thank you, Lord, for not letting me go in the gutter. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me in the straight and the narrow. We would thank him. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 10. Look what the Bible said here in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. How many's ever had something under the kitchen sink that you didn't want the youngins in? Some kind of chemical or something, you know, under, what do? You warn them. You try to lock it up, don't you? Put some kind of bands around the door so they can't get in there. And if they persist, well, then you'd get it out of there and you put it up higher so they can't reach it. Amen. You know, we take all kinds of measure. But you know, I heard a preacher say this, and I think it's fitting. He said, when God says in the Word of God, thou shalt not, he said, what he's saying is, don't hurt yourself. We don't look at it that way, though. The youngins, our youngins, if we're not careful, they think that something's being withheld from them that's good, when actually all we're trying to do is keep them alive. And that's what God's doing for us. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Look at verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. If you look at that word instruction, it could actually have been interpreted correction. Instruction. God wants to instruct his people. He wants to correct his people. Despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Go with me now to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read just a few verses there in Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to verse 3 down through verse number 8. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, You say, I'm a child of God. I can do whatever I want to do. That ain't what the book says. That's not what the book teaches. We get accused if we believe you're saved eternally. Hey, y'all believe that old once in grace, always in grace. You believe you just get saved, live like hell, and still go to heaven. The Bible teaches no such thing. It teaches if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It teaches if you really belong to God, God's going to speak to you. If that don't work, you better wear some extra padding. My son, Jeremy, was about 3. He did something, I don't know what it was. And I said, stop it, son. He didn't stop. I grabbed him by the shoulder. And I don't know if he had on them padded pants or, you know, they wear when they're little. If he had a diaper on, I don't remember. But he was walking real good, probably about 2 or 3 years old. And I said, stop it. He looked up at me and said, that didn't hurt. Worst mistake that boy ever made in his life. Amen. We had a little old lilac bush growing off of the end of the porch there. I went out there and cut me 3 little keen switches. You say, why'd you do that? Because they worked on me. I figured if it worked on me, it'd work on him. And I striped the back of them legs a little bit, them switches. Honey, when I got through, he wasn't saying that didn't hurt. I left them hanging off the gun cabinet, about that much hanging off. And all I had to do after that is say, son, you want me to get a switch? And whatever it was, straighten up, buddy. Amen. He had enough of that. I'm going to tell you something right now. It won't take you long to get enough of the chastening of the Lord. You'll want to get out from under that. You'll want to confess your sin. Amen. Get back in fellowship with God. How many's ever been out of fellowship with God? Boy, I tell you, it's a miserable place to be. Read His Word and nothing happens. Pray and know that your prayers just ain't even making it past the ceiling. Because we've got something in our heart regarding it, iniquity. That means you know it's there and you refuse to deal with it. That's a dangerous place for a child of God to be, to know something's there and refuse to deal with it. Look at this, 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the last reference. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. Look what the Bible said. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He said, Pastor, why do you talk so much about staying in the book? That's our only hope. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. What's those next words? For correction and for instruction in righteousness. See if I can remember this. This is totally on memory. It just came back to me. Profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get it right. And then for instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. That ought to be our desire tonight. To get right with God and stay right with God. Amen. Get back to the book. How many's glad you come tonight?